Well, good afternoon. We've assembled this afternoon to honor the Lord and celebrate the life and remember the legacy of Harry Pickup Jr. To speak of Brother Pickup, of course, was to speak also of his Lord, for they were absolutely inseparable. Brother Pickup was a Christian who preached, a Christian who taught and mentored and encouraged, a Christian who raised a family, and a Christian who was a blessing to the family of God wherever he found himself. And because he was a Christian, we can say with Paul that in fact we sorrow today, but we do not sorrow as those who have no hope. Brother Pickup was 91 years old when he passed from this life. Brother Pickup, by the way, I never called him Harry. It just never seemed appropriate. He told me once, he said, "Don, you can call me Harry." I said, "Brother Pickup, I can't." And so Brother Pickup was 91 years old when he passed from this life. And though his health had diminished a bit over the past several months, it had done nothing to diminish his spirit, certainly not his faith or his hope, and it certainly had not diminished his humor. Everyone knows that Brother Pickup was quick with a story. He was always happy to tell of the early years, growing in the home of a preacher, what that meant to him, the absolute devotion that he had for his mother and father. He would tell stories of Dasher Bible School and later Freed Hardeman and Abilene Christian College. All of those composed rich experiences which helped form a life and would help him become the good man that he certainly was. It was during the college years, of course, that he met Joella, who would become his bride for 67 years. The Pickups would have 5 children. Harry Pickup III, Randy, who was married to Betsy, David, 2 children who passed in this life suddenly and tragically, Donna, married to Mark Finney, and Marty, married to Amy. Since Joella's passing, Brother Pickup spoke often of the wonderful care that Amy and Betsy have shown for him. Harry and Joella. 3 words that it seems could only be spoken as one, Harry and Joella. If you were never in their home, if you never heard them interact with each other, you miss some of the great entertainment the world has ever known. The Pickups have 10 grandchildren, 17 great-grandchildren. For the past 3 decades, Brother Pickup was a member of the Temple Terrace Church. He preached and he taught here. He encouraged often. He corrected when needed. And he loved always. He was among us a patriarch, a living legend, a treasure in the kingdom. To say that he will be missed is the understatement of the ages. He was surrounded by friends of his own peers, people like Bob Morris and Dick Qualls, Zanita Chastain, who have known him for years and years. He was loved and cared for and respected by friends who came to know him only through his interaction here. People like Carrie and Rich and Brent, who tended to him so well, and Victor and Glenn and Bob Paramore, and on that list could go. And he was honored by even the youngest among us. One of my very favorite pictures in this world. Oh, we don't have it, I'm sorry. One of my favorite pictures in this world. Ah, there it is of Brother Pickup and Brother Qualls, Bob Morris, and John Ray, who is currently with the Lord, sitting in the foyer as they often did, and little Parker Bennett, who would come every service without fail early, and he and his sister would come and speak to Brother Pickup. And whatever it was that he would show him that day was always special to Brother Pickup. Again, he will be missed. That's a well-worn statement, but true nonetheless. When Sister Pickup died, it was no surprise to any of us to learn that she had planned her funeral down to the last detail. Which, by the way, if you were here, you remember that we executed to the letter. Lest Sister Pickup feel the need to speak to us about that in eternity. Brother Pickup's instructions, however, were less detailed, simply have Don and Bob speak. And so we will. He gave a little more detail than that to Bob. And so especially Brother Owen today, who was a friend of Brother Pickup's for 67 years, will speak to us. We will begin today by singing two songs led by Ray Hines, one of the shepherds of our congregation. Following those two songs, Brother John Kilgore is going to lead us in a word of prayer. And following that, we will hear first today from Brother Owen. But first, let's sing.
Songs today will be on the board behind me.
Do me so. There is a habitation built by the living God for all of every nation who seek that friend of hope. Oh, Zion, Zion, I long thy gates to see. Oh, Zion, Zion, when shall I dwell in thee? A city with foundations, firm as the eternal throne, no wars nor desolations shall ever move a stone. Oh, Zion, Zion, I long thy gates to see. Oh, Zion, Zion, when shall I dwell in thee? No night is there, no sorrow, no death and no decay, no yesterday, no morrow, but one eternal day. Oh, Zion, Zion, I long thy gates to see. Oh, Zion, Zion, when shall I dwell in thee? Within its pearly portals, angelic armies sing with glorified immortals the praises of its King. Oh, Zion, Zion, I long thy gates to see. Oh, Zion, Zion, when shall I dwell in thee?
Walking alone at eve.
Do be so. Walking alone at eve and viewing the skies afar, bidding the darkness come to welcome a silver star. I have a great delight in the wonderful scenes above. God in his power and might is showing his truth and love. Over a home with God, a place in his courts to rest, sure in a safe abode with Jesus and the blessed. Rest for a weary soul once redeemed by the Savior's love, where I'll be pure and whole and live with my God above. Sitting alone at eve and dreaming the hours away, watching the shadows falling now at the close of day. God in his mercy comes with his word, he is drawing near, spreading his love and truth around me and everywhere. Oh, for a home with God, a place in His courts to rest. Sure in a safe abode with Jesus and the blessed. Rest for a weary soul, once redeemed by the Savior's love. Where I'll be pure and whole and live with my God above. Closing my eyes at Eve and thinking of heaven's grace, longing to see my Lord, yes, meeting Him face to face, trusting Him as my all, where so ever my footsteps roam, pleading with Him to guide me onto the Spirit's home. Oh, for a home with God, a place in His courts to rest. Sure and a safe abode with Jesus and the blessed.
Rest for a weary soul, once redeemed by the Savior's love. Where I'll be pure and whole and live with my God above. Let
us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for your servant, Harry Pickup, a good and a godly man. We thank you, Father, that we can sing with faith about the home on the other side of the river. We're grateful, Father, that we can come to you with comforted hearts of knowing the life of our Father, our friend, our brother, and above all, your servant. We thank you for his life, a life lived in word and in deed, to the praise of the glory of your grace. We thank you, Father, for the love of the Word which He manifested in His preaching and in the way He practiced it, for His forthrightness, for His willingness to come, and even in the face of opposition or anticipated rejection, He spoke clearly, plainly, compassionately, but above all, passionately. He loved you, and He showed us a way to love you even more. We thank you, Father, to the praise of your glory for the way He loved people, His family, His brethren, and really all people, His love of the young. And we pray, Father, you will help us to carry on that legacy as we care for those who are coming after us, even as so many of us were following him. We praise you, Father, for his love of laughter, for the joy we experienced when we were with him and his family. And we praise you, Father, for his love of beauty, for his love of food, and for his love of beautiful clothes. He has been our mentor, our friend. And we are comforted this afternoon, Father, for we have the eternal hope of being with him again. Even as we comfort our hearts in thinking of the reunion
that he is already experiencing with those who went on before him. You have been so good to us, so gracious to give us such a brother. And we pray, Father, now as we continue our lives, help us to take all those good and great things that he taught us, that he showed us, and use them to bless all with whom we come in contact, especially those who are coming after us. May this afternoon be devoted to the praise of the glory of your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm a man under orders. Shortly after the funeral of Joella, Harry came to me and said, "I want you to preach my funeral." Anything he would ask, I would do, of course. But he said, "I've got some conditions. Number one," he said, "I want my name called only one time during the entire service." Secondly, he said, "I want you to preach from 1 Timothy 4. I'm happy to tell you that he later rescinded that first issue and even just expanded it enough to say, "Just say what you think needs to be said." Knowing Harry Pickup, I don't know anything that could better be said than 1 Timothy 4. You see, 1 Timothy 4 is about preachers. And Harry Pickup was a preacher. But as Don has already alluded to, and others will, in prayer, and I will in this talk, he loved other preachers. And he particularly cared for the younger preachers. But he was concerned. And he was concerned about the future. And he was always urging people, go to the book. Study the book. Follow the Word of God. So I chose this afternoon simply to do this. I made a copy of 1 Timothy 4. And I took the liberty to mark about 4 or 5 particular statements in that chapter. I did so with the idea that these are the kinds of things that Harry would want to emphasize to people. But I confess to you, I couldn't read this chapter. I couldn't think of these thoughts without seeing my dear friend Harry Pickup. Because as nearly as any man I have ever known in my life, he exemplified the things in this passage. You see, he was a preacher. When his daddy was preaching in Gainesville, Florida, and serving on the board of that little old school called Dasher up in South Georgia, Harry Sr. urged the family to go along with it. And Harry Jr. went to Dasher Bible School. While he was in high school, he obeyed the gospel as a preteen. While he was in high school at Dasher Bible School, he was preaching. Brother Lee or Brother Copeland would load him and maybe another boy or two and drive down into North Florida to Levy and Gilchrist counties and drop one of them off at one little place and another at another. And those boys would preach. Harry never stopped. And he exemplified the role beyond description. I think of passages, and I think of Harry. Oh, there are some things in the passage that are some things in his life that are not specifically in the passage. I don't remember Paul telling Timothy, be on time. But anybody who knew Harry Pickup knew you had to be on time. There are a group in this audience today who traveled with him, and you know the rigor of that. He and I were leaving Ethiopia. Our flight was about 8 o'clock in the morning. The taxi led us out at the airport at 4 o'clock in the morning. The airport was not open. There was a war going on between Ethiopia and Eritrea. Armed soldiers were walking around the airport. The taxi drives off. We're standing there with our luggage in the dark. One of the soldiers came, looked at our tickets to verify that we were real, and took us around to a side door and got us in the building, and we waited several hours till it was our time to get on an airplane and come home. But to Harry, it's a matter of you're going to be there on time. And there are other things that Paul probably didn't tell Timothy to do, like take care of his computer. Now, anybody who knows Harry knows no computer. He resisted it all the way to the end. But he had and loved an old word processor. And when it died, he looked for somebody who could raise it from the dead. Up to and including finally seeking and finding some guy up in New York City who did repair work on all kinds of electronics and had two or three of these things sitting in the car. And he shipped some to Harry so they could take the parts and put his back together and make it work. I've got one famous. Now, he was a storyteller. Everybody knows that. Couldn't tell a joke, but he could tell stories. And he told his stories well. And I have one favorite with him and his word processor. Bruce Hudson, who's here, is preaching in Bangor. And you see, I don't say Bangor. They say Bangor. All right. He was preaching in Bangor, in Maine and would go and spend great times in the Ukraine. And Harry got to going up and staying usually 5 weeks at a time and spending time with the brethren there at Bangor. That always happened in the fall of the year. The fall of the year is football season. So one Saturday afternoon, shortly after Harry had left and made some other stops on the way up, I'm sitting in my office at home watching a college football game. Telephone rings. Bob? Yeah. This is Harry. Yeah. Need you to do something. What's that? He said, there's something on my word processor that I need bad, and I need you to go to the house and get a copy of it and send it to me. I said, I'll be glad to do that, Harry. I said, do you need it today? Oh, no, no rush. I said, all right, then suppose I do it the first of the week. He said, that would be fine. I said, all right, Harry, do me a favor. Don't tell Joella now. I'll call her Monday morning, tell her what we need to do and all of that, and then Monday afternoon, I'll go to the house. Okay, I won't. 15 minutes later, the phone rings. Joella says, Bob, Harry tells me that you're going to come over and... She said, I think I know where that is on his word processor, and I can take care of it. I said, well, now, Joelle, I'm coming over to do it. And she said, no, well, let me. I think I can do it. Oh, so we hang up the phone. 5 minutes later, the phone rings again. Joelle says, Bob, Harry's got the word processor with him. It's in the trunk of his car. He made no mistakes like that with the Word of God. He was careful. He was prayerful. And he was a preacher's preacher. Had he not given me my topic, I would have chosen to liken him to a man about whom we know very little in the New Testament, but where one expression says so much. Nathanael, a man in whom there is no guile. If ever I have known a man with whom there is no guile, it was Harry Pickup. With many people, when you ask them a question, they pause a moment. And you can almost feel him doing the political thing of which answer would be best for me under this circumstance. Not with Brother Pickup. When you ask, you got the answer immediately. And you got the fact, you got the truth, you got it plain, and you got it forthrightly. But that was just a quality of his life, which is exemplary of one of the statements that Paul made to Timothy. Be thou an example to them that believe in word, in manner of life, in love, in faith, in purity. To me, Harry Pickup is A+ in all of those. Certainly in the Word of God, and I'll say more of that later. but his manner of life in every way bespoke a devotion to God. His manner of life without guile. He was a man of love. He loved people. He cared for people. He was slow to take criticisms of others. He was quick to give every person the best that he could give. He always assumed the best of anybody and tried his best to make that the reality. He was a man of deep conviction. And he was a man of conscientiousness almost beyond description. He wanted to do what was right. He wanted to do what was best. And sometimes what was right and what was best was not always a pleasant situation. He found that at times with the brethren. He found that at times within his family. And it was difficult. But he was determined to do what was right and best. I recall years ago a phone call at about 2:30 in the morning. When I answered the phone, he said, "Bob, this is Harry. Can you come over and talk with Joella and me?" I went to his house in the middle of the night. They had been sitting, wrestling with problems that were heavy on their hearts. I know that my judgment meant little or nothing. But I hope my presence meant something. Because he was a friend that I loved. And like the proverb that says, "It's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." We shared a wonderful relationship. Don took 10 years off of it, I think. 67 years. And the last 40 of that or more have been here in this community where we could be so close together. And we shared so many things. And I loved it dearly. It's hard for me to think that a week ago today, I took a couple of Cuban sandwiches and he had his Diet Coke and we spent a couple of hours at his place. Not sensing in any way that the end for him was so near. Paul urged Timothy, "Give heed to reading, to exhortation, and to teaching." If you knew Harry Pickup, you knew he was a reader. He read everything. Everything that was profitable. Who do you know? Who had used and read and studied from the writings of Alexander Campbell all through his life? And then in his 80s, to go back and read from the first in sequence the entire collection of the Millennial Harbinger. He fell in love with the writings of Jack Cottrell and read them repeatedly, going back over and over, same books that had deep thought that he loved dearly. He was a reader, but he was careful what he read. He wasn't interested in the fluff type emotional movement that seems to be attractive to too many of us who preach. I remember vividly in a lectureship at the college, one of the night lectures, when he stopped and took several minutes to plead to the young preachers, don't be spending your time with the popular writers of the day that give you emotional outburst, motivational lessons, but don't really focus on the Word of God. And he pled with them, stay with the Word of God. That was Harry Pickup. Paul said, give heed to exhortation. You won't find anybody who is more encouraging to others than Harry Pickup. Ready with a compliment, ready with a word that said, you can do it, keep going. Whether it was a family in problem, a church in need, a preacher struggling. We could have called him Barnabas because he was that kind of an encourager. And the Lord said, to teaching. And the teaching of God's word was so vitally important to him. Why? Because it was the source of eternal life. It was the avenue to take you to heaven. And because of Paul's warnings, in later times some shall fall away from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and to the doctrines of demons. Harry lived through times when our brethren saw a great departure from the real faith of God. And he was a mover and a shaker, trying to urge people to hold on to the simple New Testament plan. He loved teaching, and he was a fine teacher. He was a great preacher. You had to be careful as a listener when he preached, but he was a great preacher. And he could laugh at himself. He came back off of a meeting several years ago and told me of an experience he had had. He was in some little congregation up, I think, in Pennsylvania. And there was a lady in the congregation who was a Christian, but her husband was not. But he came with her during the meeting. And as they were coming out one night, this lady was saying, "Oh, Brother Pickup, that was such a wonderful lesson. Oh, that was such a good sermon." And her husband said, "Been better if it hadn't been so long." Harry tells me, "I decided I'd just take him on." So I said to him, "Let me ask you something, sir. Have you ever had an operation?" "Well, yes." He said, "Did you want the surgeon to quit before he got through?" The guy said, "No, but he put me to sleep before he did it." And Harry tells me that he said, "You got me. You got me good." But he was concerned about departures from the faith. And it prodded him to try to do what Paul urged Timothy. If you put the brethren in mind of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Christ Jesus, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which thou hast followed until now. He loved the truth of God. He enjoyed brethren who studied and who would study with him. He loved this church right here. I don't know how many times he has said to me, "I think that's the finest congregation." All you visitors, sorry about this. He said, "I think that's the finest congregation I've ever worked with." He was complimentary of the elders, of the spirit of the whole group. And he frequently complimented that young man who does the preaching there. And it was always that young man who does that. Many of you had the privilege of private studies with him, because if you were interested, his door was open. And with this person, he had studied this book, and with that person, he had gone through another book. And I know of several of you of whom that is the case. And Harry's concern for young people was exemplified completely. That when his mother and father were aged and infirmed and demanding and necessitating his care, he couldn't travel. He says Joella suggested it. And he started having a little school. It began primarily with younger men. He would invite about a dozen young men that if you'll come to Temple Terrace this particular week, I'll see to your housing and your food while you're here. And he called on some of us older preachers to work with him. And it was not an old session of sit around the table and just talk about whatever you want to talk about. It was a school, rigorous, timed classes for different topics. And the men would come and enjoy what we call Pickup University. and of course dubbed PU. And it was popular throughout the world. All of that because he was a preacher. All of that because he cared. All of that because he had set his mind years ago to being God's child. I looked also at 2 Timothy 4. And there were some things in 2 Timothy 4 that were paralleled with the first. But there were some other things in 2 Timothy 4. There was a statement. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. That's Paul. Harry Pickup's life was not without problem. He was not exempted from attack, criticism. But I want to share with you a statement that one of the students from PU and a dear friend to him, a fine young preacher, sent me this. My observation is that life was not always kind to Harry. But he dealt with all that was adverse with grace and dignity, an example of how faith can comfort. The plight of the church concerned him. Young people leaving the Lord's way, finding the popular ways of the day, were a tragedy to him. It broke his heart. He suffered it personally, and it bothered him deeply. But he was not like Paul in another way. I hear Paul saying, Demas hath forsaken me. Crescens has gone to Galatia. Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Harry Pickup had friends. Harry Pickup had many friends. And even in his late years, the people in this congregation, others in this community, and people from all over the country checked on him, did for him, and wanted to be a friend with him. Because he was that kind of person. And I am honored to call him my friend. And I'm honored to add a word of encouragement today. I sincerely wish that I could do with 1 Timothy 4 what I think he really had in mind when he made the request to me. He would be embarrassed for it to be applied to him. He would have to straighten me out if he had a chance now for saying, these things are like Harry Pickup. You know what he wanted? He wanted a lesson presented to his friends saying, there is no substitute for the Word of God. A lesson saying, don't leave the simple teaching of Scripture. Don't listen to the fables of the world. Don't get itching ears and fall astray from the only thing that can take you to heaven. What Harry wanted was a sermon saying to young people, young preachers particularly, and to his own family, to those he loves the most, saying to them, there is one way to heaven above, and that's the Lord's way. Be sure you follow it. I loved him dearly. I'll miss him sorely. And I close with one more statement from 1 Timothy 4 that I believe to have been the motivating force in his life. For to this end, we labor and strive because we have our hopes set on the living God. Thank you.
Join with me as we sing together and raise our voices to God as we sing High Above the Seraphim, all three verses.
Lord, it's my dear, I will sing.
I'm honored this afternoon for just a very few minutes to have been asked by Brother Pickup to speak at this assembly on behalf of this congregation, which in fact I think he did love very much, and is a representative of the generation of preachers just younger than his. It's hard for me sometimes to realize that I only knew Brother Pickup for the last third of his life. I wish I could have known him as a young man. I wish I could have known him when he was a college student. I wish I could have known him as a young preacher. I wish I could have seen him when he was speaking at the Arlington meeting. I wish I could have known him in the time that he was working at Florida College. I envy people like Kenny Moore and Steve Patton and Steve Cawthon. Many others, as Brother Pickup would tell story after story of their exploits as they traveled the country on behalf of the school. I knew Brother Pickup casually when I was living in Texas. We had interaction because of a lectureship that was carried on there in the congregation where I was, but it was when I moved to Temple Terrace that I truly came to know him well. But even before I got to know him here, whenever I would hear about Harry Pickup Jr., I always thought of him as a modern-day Apollos. The scripture said Apollos was an eloquent man and mighty in the scripture. Surely that was Harry Pickup Jr. He was, in fact, an eloquent man, not just learned as the root of the word, but in the way that we typically define the word. He was an orator of amazing skill, a wordsmith who seemed to have swallowed an Oxford English dictionary, and a man who had a flexible jaw that allowed him to pronounce words in the most fascinating of ways. And he was, as Brother Owen has suggested, mighty in scripture. That was Brother Pickup. When you think of Harry Pickup, you think of a man who was stalwart for truth, solid in doctrine, a man who was meticulous in his preaching and his teaching. He was a man who took his work and took his craft seriously. And so long before I knew him well, I knew of his reputation. A sterling reputation, high profile among our brethren throughout the land. And it certainly was not that he had sought that. It was certainly not that he had purposefully tried to cultivate that. It happened naturally as brethren came to respect his abilities and his love for truth. There was no arrogance about Harry Pickup Jr. at all. Unless you were losing to him on the tennis court, there was no pride in him. It's been interesting in the last few days that post after post on Facebook and on various blogs tell story after story after story of his going far out of his way to be of help to those who, when all was said and done, had no claim on him at all. Individuals that he would try to recruit to the college because he believed that it would serve them well. Young preachers that he would go out of his way to try to help because he believed that they needed it. Do you remember the section in Matthew's gospel when there is a judgment scene depicted and Jesus says, I was hungry, you fed me. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was sick, you visited me. I wonder if the Lord would have said to Brother Pickup, I was discouraged and you encouraged me. I didn't understand and you taught me. I was grieving. You came to comfort me. I was without direction. You guided me. I was drifting and you corrected me. I was young and you didn't overlook me. I was old and you commiserated with me. I was a preacher and you were kind to me. That was Brother Pickup. He was, as Bob suggested, an amazing friend to young preachers. Brother Owen referenced the fact that for many years he produced what was commonly known as Pickup University. It was a wonderful experience. If you were invited to be a student at Pickup University, you would be invited for 2 years. But I got the local preacher exemption. And so I got to go every year. It was amazing. There would be older gentlemen who would always be assigned in 4 areas. Every school covered 4 areas. Something textual, something topical, something applicational that a preacher could use in a local work, and something controversial. And we'd be invited to come and to be students. Brother Pickup and Sister Pickup, of course, paid the expenses so that these young men could be exposed to excellent teaching in an environment, in a setting, where they were free to ask anything anything that was on their mind without any repercussion. The Pickups never accepted any financial assistance to do that. Many offered, but they would not. They wouldn't. It was a labor of love. I have so many memories of those schools. One of my very favorite is at night at dinner. Everybody is almost there. And I'm sitting in the middle of the table. Brother Pickup was at the end, and he looks down and he says, "Don, offer thanks for us." And so I began. "Father, we're grateful for the good day and grateful for the school." And all of a sudden, Brother Pickup says, "Don, wait a minute. There are some others coming in." And I looked up, and Marty was across from me, and he says, "Only my dad would put God on hold." When I was growing up, my dad told me 1,000 times, "Always leave things better than you found them, no matter what it is." That's certainly the case with Brother Pickup in the Temple Terrace Church. And so on behalf of this church, may I just say that he left us better than he found us. It would be impossible to calculate the influence for good that Brother Pickup had among us. His fingerprints are everywhere on this church, although I'm sure he never thought of himself in those terms. For many years, he would preach frequently in my absence, which is why I always believed the brethren would hold the door waiting for me to leave. On 3 occasions, Brother Pickup and I on a Sunday night shared the pulpit, and I would ask him questions and he would speak. We talked about things that were close to him. It was a rich experience for me to be a part of that. I loved asking Brother Pickup questions. Not just in that venue, but in every venue. And he loved answering questions. I was holding a gospel meeting in Trenton, Florida, 2 hours and 45 minutes away from here. I had to drive up and come back one night, so I invited Brother Pickup to go because this was where, when he was young, he preached. As we were pulling down the on-ramp onto I-75, I asked him a question. When we pulled into the parking lot of the building at the church at Trenton, he said, "Did that answer it for you?" That was not unusual. You know, once we moved into this building, we could have multiple Bible classes for adults. Brother Pickup taught constantly. When he was no longer traveling the country and he was here, he taught constantly for us. What rich opportunities those were for our people. When I first moved here, I was 36 years old. I've been here for 22 years. You can do the math. When I first moved here, Brother Pickup was so conscious of not getting in my way, of letting me establish myself here, that he wouldn't do anything. I couldn't get him to talk in a Bible class. I would say, "Brother Pickup, please speak up and talk." And he said, "No, not going to get in your way." And so one night in our old building where we just had a single Bible class and all the adults were there, this was a Wednesday night, I will never forget, I looked at him directly and I asked him a direct question. I said, "Brother Pickup, what do you think about that?" I was going to force him to answer. There was a long silence. And he said, "I'm sorry, Don, I wasn't paying any attention to you. I don't know what you ask." I said, "Brother Pickup, could you not have said, could you repeat the question? I didn't hear you." And he said, "It's always better to be honest, Don." But in reality, as you know, Brother Pickup was an unwavering source of encouragement. In this church, we've seen that in 1,000 ways. Brother Pickup was old school. He had no computer, as Bob said. He wrote notes to countless people, letters, handwritten. I wouldn't take anything for them. He loved the children in this church. He was proud of the young couples in our congregation just starting their families. Countless times. He would hear a college student extend a Wednesday night invitation, or one of our college students lead singing, and I don't know how many times he would call me that night and say, "Don, what was the name of that boy?" Because we were all boys to him. And he would say that he wanted to write them a note of encouragement. He talked about our deacons a lot, the work they do and how much he appreciated them. One of our deacons, when he heard that Brother Pickup had died, he sent me a text immediately, and he said that a week ago Sunday night, he was with his child back in the nursery, and Brother Pickup had sat back there, which he would sometimes do. And he said as soon as the service was over, Brother Pickup had come to him. He's one of our new deacons, and said, "I just want to tell you how much I appreciate the work you're doing for us, how well you're doing. He left us better than he found us." A few years ago, Tom Brokaw wrote of the veterans of World War II, and he called them the greatest generation. He was right about that. And I will tell you that that's the way I feel about the generation of preachers represented by Brother Pickup. It was the generation just beyond mine. It's the generation of my father. It's the only older generation that I know, and so it's the only generation that I can make comparisons to. And many of that generation are in this audience today, paying you respect and your tribute to Brother Pickup. And may I say to every man of that generation who is in this audience today, may I say to you that we are indebted to you. You fought battles we've not fought. You paid prices that we have not paid. You have worked hard for years to make sure that things were better for my generation and the generation beneath mine. And we thank you. We stand on the shoulder of giants. I've gone back and read the articles from the 1960s where there were certain publications that sounded the death knell for conservative churches. And yet, here we are. In churches throughout the length and breadth of these United States that are growing and thriving and accomplishing great things. And it's because of men like Harry Pickup Jr. and Bob Owen and their like. Again, many of whom are in this room today. Thank you. It was said that at the death of Stephen, that devout men carried him to his burial. Well, this room is full today of devout men and women. Men and women who believe that we sorrow not as others who have no hope. Men and women who believe that our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for the Savior, even our Lord Jesus Christ. Men and women who believe that God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Have you ever thought about that? Not an angel, not an apostle, but our God. The same hand that swept the universe into existence and flung the stars into space, the same hand that formed the mountains and penned the Ten Commandments, that hand of that God will wipe away every tear. No wonder Paul would say, "I have a desire to depart and be with Christ," which would be far better. I wonder how many times, ladies and gentlemen, how many times did Brother Pickup quote the psalmist, "As for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness"? How many times did he quote Isaiah, "My eyes shall see the King in his beauty"? How many times did he quote Job, "I shall see God, my eyes, and not another"? How many times did he say with Paul, "Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord"? I am so grateful that for Brother Pickup, faith has been made sight and hope has been made reality. In just a minute, we will sing one final song, and then Wayne Moody will lead us in a closing prayer. And after that prayer, you may consider yourself dismissed. Brother Pickup's family will stay in the front of the auditorium if you did not have opportunity to speak with them prior. In our bulletin for tomorrow, I wrote these words. Brother Pickup was a monumental influence for truth among our brethren for literally decades. He preached with unwavering faith and unrelenting strength. His intellect was a force of nature unto itself. and yet the compassion of his heart knew no bounds. He laughed with abandon, often at himself. He gave countless hours of his time to mentor younger preachers. He loved the Lord with a fervor and commitment that surely must have reminded God of his prophets in days gone by. He was a great man. And he was my friend and a father in the faith. And I loved him deeply. And I miss him terribly. And I rejoice for him greatly. And I hope to see him again one day.
Please join me in standing as we sing our last song. Wayne Moody will lead the prayer after this song.
Do me so, sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace in the mansions bright and blessed.
Indeed, a God of wonder and a God of love and a God of light. We're so thankful for the fact that you saw fit in your providence for Brother Pickup to be a part of our lives. We thank you for the guidance that he gave us through his wisdom in the scriptures. We thank you for his undying love for the truth that is in your word. And with him, it was always about truth. We pray that you will be with all of us, that we may be so inclined to love the truth as much as he did. Lord, we're so thankful for the joy that he must be experiencing now. And we are caught between two ideas. We are sorrowful, and yet at the same time, we are so joyful for the fact that we know, because of your word, that there's a joy that awaits us if we will but have the strength and the courage to go the last mile of the way. We're thankful for the love that Brother Pickup showed to all of us. We're so thankful that we had it in our time to look to him as a soldier of the cross. He's fought the fight of faith, and he now is enjoying the crown of life that he strove for. All these things we ask in your Son's name. Amen.